Hi, you're listening to Saints Unscripted.
Each episode is available to view on YouTube, so be sure to check us out.
We're also on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. Enjoy the show.
Family worship, it's meaningful and beautiful, not every time, but over time. Mm-hmm. It's the tradition, the meaning that comes, and sometimes you're just grinding it out, but the magic moments come.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Saints Unscripted. I'm David.
I'm Alex.
And we are here today with our friend Lauren Marks. Welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We're excited to have you. And so Lauren is a friend and colleague of David Dollahite. I always wonder if I'm saying his last name right.
That's right.
We've had David on the show a couple of times. And if my understanding is correct, he said, you got to have Lauren on because we've been working together. And this is what they've been working on, this new book, Home-Centered Gospel Learning and Living. But before we get to that, because that's what we're talking about today, before we get to that, maybe just tell us a little bit about yourself and your background. Is that okay?
You bet. Dave is a bestie of mine. We've been close for 30 years and done research together for almost all of that time.
Awesome. Well, okay, so we're going to jump into these questions. Yeah. And we've got like 10 of them, and because we just ramble, we're just going to try to read them and mm-hmm. and get down to business here.
So let's go ahead and talk about this book. What is the central idea of the book?
I would say, to quote Dorothy from Wizard of Oz, there's no place like home. There's no place like home. No place like home to learn about the Savior. No place to learn about love in quite the same way. And I think that's what we're trying to say in one sentence. The aim is to help us build eternal families through Jesus.
Mm. Yeah, and what was kind of your inspiration for it? Where did it come from?
I think there's a couple. One, we mentioned my dear friend, Dave Dollahite. We've had the blessing for almost 25 years now, well over 20 years, to interview 300 really strong, remarkable marriage-based families from all over the U.S., different religions, different races, and that has been a delight. We sit down with them and ask these wives and husbands, how'd you do it? How did you pull it off? And they're not just still together, they're crazy about each other. And we ask them, okay, for our younger and emerging adults, how exactly do you get there? With that said, one of the things that came up again and again with these families who are also religious is that they talk about the power of worshiping in the home. Whether they're Muslim or Christian, Jewish, there's a base of prayer and sacred text that's really meaningful to them. And that's something that struck Dave and I for years. So that the first inspiration, chronologically, I think would be those families. But second, President Nelson. I mean, what a man. Surely there's a prophet in Israel, right? But he steps up to the podium in October 2018 General Conference and says, we need to have a home-centered approach, home-centered worship, home-centered learning. I'm thinking, the prophet knows what these 300 families have told us, that's where the magic happens. He knows. And then he stands up the next day and says, let's be exemplary Latter-day Saints. Let's go all in, fire in the bones. And where does that start? In the home.
So what kinds of things might individuals and families gain by reading your book?
Well, I think there are two major contributions. On one hand, the book is kind of a greatest hits compilation of quotes from President Nelson and other church leaders saying, hey, we've got some challenges for you as a family. We've got some promises from heaven for you if you do those things. And then on the other hand, Dave and I, we were blessed to hear from more than 500 saints saying, here's how it's going for us in our marriage and in our homes, the come follow me effort, the home-centered worship effort. Here are the challenges that are coming up. Here are the successes we have. Here's what we'd say to encourage our sisters and brothers in the faith. And so really you have prophetic promises and challenges on one hand, and then real life reflections from people like us on the other. And we really hope that it works for, you know, for members of our faith out there.
So one question that I have, you've interviewed all these other families. Has kind of the knowledge that you've gained from writing this book, from this research, from these interviews, has that, or how has that benefited you and your family in your home?
It's benefited in many ways, but I'll just give you one for now. One thought that comes up again and again, cross faiths, cross races, regions of the country, is religious parents talk too much. We preach too much. We need to listen more. Come Follow Me should be youth-centered, not parent-centered. So, you know, on a personal family note, about 5 years ago, we said, hey, we're reading the scriptures, but I don't know if we're studying them. So let's ask questions, you know, as we move through. And that went pretty well for a while. And then the questions died off. And I said, guys, you're really asking great questions for a while. Why aren't you asking questions? And they said, well, Dad, because every time we do, you ramble on forever.
Oh, man. Ouch.
Ouch. You know, I know better than this. And so to the other parents out there, I'd remind them along with myself, you can't listen too much.
So your work on the American Families of Faith Project focuses on a bunch of diverse different faiths. So why did you write a book specifically for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints?
Yeah, great question, Alex. One reason is that on at least two occasions that I'm aware of, President Dallin H. Oaks has said to BYU faculty, please don't just write to those within your academic discipline. Move out of the ivory tower once in a while and write faithfully to those in the broader world.
So I guess related to that question, who is this book for? Is it just for Latter-day Saints?
No, but on the other hand, in some ways, this book is to myself. When I heard President Nelson speak, I was so inspired. I wanted to follow the prophet, but I know that personally, my momentum and my motivation tends to lag. In some ways, this was holding myself accountable. About 7 years ago, we're having a family scripture study. We're in the New Testament. We come across the word hypocrite a whole bunch. And our then 8-year-old Aaliyah says, what does that mean? I say, well, you know, that's when your words don't, you know, your actions don't measure up to your words. Does that make sense? You know, you're not walking the talk. Yeah, I get it. That same week, my wife, Sandra, who teaches in exercise science and student wellness at BYU, excellent cook, health conscious, says, honey, I need you to call the kids in here. I need to have a talk. We can't have them foraging through the pantry anymore. Well, I'm putting the finishing touches on a healthy dinner, you know? And so I tell them, we're not digging through the pantry anymore while mom's cooking dinner. Everybody hear what mama said, right? Model husband, trying to be very supportive. The very next day, it's dinner time, and I've got my arm, you know, elbow deep in the Cool Ranch Doritos.
Every time.
Yeah. And I hear from behind me, Daddy! And I whip around, and there's Aaliyah working the hand on the head. What you're doing's called being a hypocrite. You know, my wife says, yeah, she nailed that one. And so... That's me in a lot of ways, and I'm reminded there's so much in here from President Nelson, from church leaders, like I said, greatest hits, and inspiring words from fellow members. It makes me want to do better and be better. So I hope that many will benefit from it, and I hope that it will bludgeon me out of my own hypocrisy.
Sometimes you just got to publish a book, right?
Get out there. There you go. Yeah.
So do you have a favorite chapter?
Yes. I think chapter 8, which I think is entitled More Than Promised, Additional Unexpected Blessings.
Yeah.
So as we were setting up the book, Dave and I, we we knew we were going to be asking, has your life been blessed? Has your life changed? As you've tried to follow President Nelson's challenge and urging to make your home a sacred center of gospel learning. And we figured, of course, some people are going to say yes. But we had no idea the deluge of responses that would come in. So we didn't have enough room in chapter 7. We had to do an additional chapter. Chapter 8 deals almost solely with relationships. Here's how it helped me to love the Savior and the Spirit more. Here's how it helped me to love my family members more. Here's how, surprise, surprise, it helped me to love some of my branch and ward members more. So I don't think that the writing is especially good in chapter 8, but I love it because it reminds us God not only delivers, he gives us more, far more than he promises. And so the meta message there was even more powerful to me than the real, the explicit message.
Wow.
So when it comes to writing a book, I haven't done it before, but I imagine that there's a lot of yourself that goes into it, or at least influences kind of the final product. Are there, certain, maybe tell us a little bit about your life, your past experiences that might kind of factor into kind of the content that we're talking about here?
I'd love to. So I'm the oldest of 8 kids, grew up in Oregon. And our family, financially, things were tight. I mean, we were poor, couldn't afford the OR at certain points. But in terms of the stuff that really matters, I mean, I was silver spoon privileged. Had the restored gospel of Jesus Christ, had a mom and dad who loved each other, who loved their kids, and who lived and modeled the gospel really well. I mean, I couldn't, as a family scholar, I couldn't wish for anything more for any child than that. But to dig a little deeper, specific to this book, we did not have a TV in our home for most of my growing up years. And great literature was the focus, not television. And mom and dad would read us classics, the classics of literature. And as the Pulitzer Prize winning psychiatrist and author Robert Coles has said, what makes great literature great is not just that it entertains us, it's that it issues a call to the reader to be more than she or he was before encountering the work. And there's nowhere where that's more true than the scriptures. So we're raised on this great literature. And I think my parents did a solid job with family scripture study, with family prayer. They were almost flawless in that domain. They really did that well. But what impacted me most, their example of personal study. My dad was a convert to the church in his teens, but he loved the scriptures. And he loved church history and read Journal of Discourses, and he loved Hugh Nibley, and he read that material for joy. And I saw that. It was modeled for all of us as kids. And I appreciate that, and it influences me to this day. With my mom, though, economic recession hits in the 1980s. Things get tighter financially, and a good job for a single guy can't even put food on the table for a father of 8. My dad has to take a job in Saudi Arabia for 2 years. From the time I'm 14 till I'm 16, he's overseas. And even as self-absorbed as I was during that teenage span, I knew it had to be hard for my mom. There were a lot of nights I'd knock on her door just to talk to her, and I'd crack it open, and I'd see her kneeling next to her bed in prayer, or her scriptures would be open in her lap. And what I've learned from that is when things get hard, you go to your knees and you go to the Word. And when things are great, you go to your knees and you go to the Word. And that example of my mother and my father, it just is bone deep in me. And I wish that every child could have that wealth of experience with great literature, with the scriptures in particular, and have that love of the Lord and of the great books modeled by their parents.
Hmm. Love that.
That's a beautiful story. Thank you.
Yeah.
So we've just heard all about your relationship with the gospel and all of that as a child and your upbringing. How does that help you now today as a husband and a father?
Mm-hmm. Well, to take husband first, I'm on my first date with my wife, Sandra. And at the end of the date, I say, I assume that your family are members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And she says, no, I was introduced to the church when I was about 10. I wanted to be baptized, but my dad asked me to wait until I was 18. So I just went to church on my own for about 8 years and then got baptized. What? 8 years? You did this? I mean, when I was 14, I knew the church was true. I did. That didn't mean my mom didn't have to call me two or three times sometimes on Sunday morning to get my bones out of bed. You know? I thought, what a remarkable soul. And so she was crazy enough to marry me. And with gospel learning, there was this whole new dimension opening up as in companion study out of the scriptures. I got to hear about her take, which was deeper in some ways, different. There was a sharper contrast. She knew what life looked like without the gospel. And so to many of our younger or emerging adults out there who are newly married or about to get married, set the tone. Enjoy that. And you get to develop this sacred dialogue within your marriage. And it sets the tone for children to join you later. But as our dear friend and colleague Heather Hal Kelly has said, and we mentioned this in the book, hey, family worship, it's meaningful and beautiful, not every time, but over time. Mm-hmm. It's the tradition, the meaning that comes. And sometimes you're just grinding it out, but the magic moments come. If I could share one more, COVID hits and we go to home church. And my mother-in-law, who converted to the church later in life, says, hey, Lauren, why don't we do a home church with grandma and grandpa who are not technologically savvy, and we can do it all together, four generations over Zoom. Well, hey, that sounds good. And so we do that, and it's meaningful, and it's beautiful. But my wife being a convert, her sister, Nicole, who I just love, but was not a member of the church, let her young daughter go with grandma and great-grandma and great-grandpa to home church. And that was a nice introduction to the gospel to her. Mm-hmm. And after COVID lifts, she says, Mom, I want to keep going to the church with grandma and grandpa. She does. And, you know, consistent with Isaiah 11:6, and a little child shall lead them. To speed up, almost 2 years ago, her mom, Nicole, said, Lauren, will you come baptize me?
Wow.
And 4 months later, her husband, who also happens to be one of my dearest, closest friends from growing up in Oregon, where we're both from, David, calls and says, you want to dunk me too? 13 days ago, they were sealed for time and all eternity in the Spokane Temple. And it all came down to a small and simple thing. An inspired mother-in-law saying, why don't we do this together? Maybe there'll be something special, something powerful that will come out of it. And we had no idea. I really hope that that your listeners will feel the testimony of the members in this book, of our prophet who says, hey, there's something waiting for you and your family. And it's going to be hard to get there, and you're going to have nights of frustration, but it's worth it. So heaven bless all those who, like me, are trying to overcome hypocrisy and are trying to get out of the First Nephi Club, you know, reading it 10 times more than any other book, right? But thanks so much for having me, Alex and David. This has been a joy.
Of course.
Of course. Thank you, Lauren.
Thank you. I feel the weight of needing to change already. I haven't even read the whole book yet, and I feel like, oh man, this is going to change me. And it's going to be, you know, like you mentioned, it's not always easy, but it's worth it. Everybody, thanks for watching. Lauren, thank you for being here. Guys, we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Thanks for listening.
Be sure to check us out on YouTube.
And you can message us on Facebook, Instagram, or TikTok. Bye.